Then in verse 3, he stretched out the form of a hand and he caught me by my hair. That time his hair grew again. And lifted me up between earth. Have you ever heard of that? Many of us think that transportation in the spirit always like a cloud come to you. You get on the cloud and then you go, go up. Or like fiery chariot come down to you and then you stand on a fiery chariot and the chariot takes you up. But Ezekiel, being prophet, got strange transportation. All God did was just put his hand out, grab him and took him. That's amazing. So prophets got strange manifestation. But God showed him in verse 5, says, lift up your eyes towards the north. And he saw all the evil that the people did. Everywhere he went, they put idols everywhere in the Lord's house. And when all those things are seen, in chapter 10, verse 1, as I look, there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appears something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels and under the cherub, fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim, scatter them over the city. And now the cherubim was standing on the south side of the temple with the man in, and a cloud filled the inner court. And the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord. And then he saw the glory begin to depart from one place to another place. In verse 18, the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And then finally, they moved out straight into God's glory again. In other words, unknown to the people, the glory of God has left Jerusalem. It has left the temple, but nobody knew that it was Ichabod. The glory had departed. See, before the destruction of Jerusalem, the glory has already left the Ark of Mercy. And none of them knew it except Ezekiel. He saw it in the spirit. There was something going off in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is quite an interesting realm. Many years back, I prayed for 48 hours in tongues. And at the end of that time, it was like you're living in an open vision. When you look into people, you could see into their spirit. And if there is a demon around, you could see the demon. If there is an angel, you could see the angel. There is a tremendous realm out there in the spirit. Right now, tonight, you may not see the angels, but they are there. They are right above in that section over here. About halfway up the hall. Although you cannot see them, they are there. And we need to understand how to flow in that spirit world. And I remember in the tape series on experiences in the spirit realm, I shared two of those things that were manifested. One of those is that whatever thoughts people think, you could visibly see an influence in the spirit realm. How do I put it? In the spirit realm, these are some of the things that I found in the spirit realm. What you think comes into existence. If we all were to go back to heaven right now, and in heaven, you were to think of, like you desire, and you think of the fruit from the garden of paradise, it would appear right there. In the spirit realm, the time between asking and manifestation is zero. But somehow on this earth, there is a delay process. It takes place in the spirit world, but it takes time to get into the natural realm. These are some of the strange things in the spirit world, that here Ezekiel saw the glory departing, and yet it took some time before the actual glory in the natural of Jerusalem finally was removed in the destruction. But that realm of the spirit is an important realm for us to understand and move into. And so the gist of it here in chapter 11, chapter 10, is that the glory has departed. So it's back into what I call the dark ages of the church. See, from the glory in the book of Acts chapter 2, if you read church history, you will notice how the glory in the church goes down this way. Until a darkest point in the dark ages. And then slowly, not too long ago, only a few hundred years ago, we cannot even measure in terms of thousands. Now all those times of nearly 2,000 years of church history, from the time of Acts until now, there have always been pockets of the faithful. But there was no generalized move of God until the past few hundred years, when from the Reformation period, the Bible was restored back to the church. And slowly you see the church picking up its glory again. So the same way you see in Ezekiel chapter 4 to 24, the glory going downwards until they hit the lowest point, and that was when this second major section took place, the lowest point in Jerusalem, and that was when finally it ends in chapter 24 with Ezekiel's wife dying and God saying that Jerusalem will also die, and the desire of his eyes will be taken off. What a sad point. The dark ages for Israel. Then during that time, from chapter 25 right on to chapter 32, you have the third division that is called prophecies regarding all the various nations surrounding them. But of all these prophecies, the most important two are prophecies regarding Tyre and prophecies of Egypt, because they are symbolic. You can see here that there are eschatological applications from chapter 26. In the prophecies of Tyre, there are many things that doesn't just apply to the real king of Tyre, because he speaks about other areas in verse 20. Then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited, and I'll establish glory in the land of the living. Now, here you can see that there are some references that begin to apply to Satan himself. Look at chapter 27. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, "Now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre, and say to Tyre, you who are started situated at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, thus says the Lord, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the midst of the seas," etc., etc. And all these other areas that he talks about, notice that a lot of it begins to apply also in type to Satan. Then finally he reaches chapter 28. And in verse 2 he says, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a God. Now who does this apply to? Satan. But yet you look at chapter 1, chapter 28 verse 1 and 2, it refers to the prince of Tyre. So here we have a double dual prophecy. One is to the actual prince of Tyre, the other points to Satan. In its application to the Israelites, it's applied to the real city of Tyre. But to the eschatological interpretation, it applies that during the period when the dark ages comes into the church, which as you see in the previous chapter, the glory departed. Even the church age has its Ichabod. When the word of God departed from the church, it was Ichabod. Our Ark of Covenant is between the pages of the Bible, between the covers of the Bible. This is our Ark of Covenant. And whatever we need comes from the Word that God has given to us. This is a New Testament Ark of Covenant. In the Dark Ages, the church lost this book. It was in a language the common people could not read. The first people who translated the Bible were killed for their effort. Finally, in our days, the Bible is commonly available to people. Thank God. And basically, during times of dark ages, there are only two areas that God wants to deal with. Because there is a third. Usually it comes down to three. The flesh, the devil, and the world. The flesh, the devil, and the world. You see that God wants to deal with the devil. Then you see in chapter 29 onwards, God deals with Egypt. There are two things. The devil and the world. And if you notice what the other nations symbolize, like chapter 25, all the other nations, Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Philistia, symbolize the works of the flesh. So beautifully you have in the book of Ezekiel, in that third major division, from chapter 25 to chapter 32, you have the flesh, the devil, and the world. And these are the three that will keep the church in the dark ages. These are the three that will keep Israel oppressed. And these are the three that the church today needs to deal with. See, although we are in the period of Reformation and we have moved into the charismatic movement, we have moved into the Pentecostal period, we have moved into the faith movement, we have moved into the prophetic movement which we are in today. Yet, in all these moves, the direction and the momentum that we gain is to bring us ultimately to freedom from the flesh, the devil, and the things of this life. It's to bring us into that realm. And in each move, there are always extremes. In each move, there are extremes. Every time God wants to restore something, there are always mainline, sideline, extreme